All right, welcome back. Our guest tonight is Steve Neal. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in all weekend long, tonight and tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, I do want to remind everybody, my guest is going to be Barrett Brown, the Barrett Brown, for the full show. That's tomorrow night, Sunday night on Coast to Coast. Tonight, it's Steve Neal. I do want to thank Whitley Strieber for coming in during the first hour. And Steve is here to help me man the phones for the next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Nathan and I were just cracking up during the break. So I want to thank everybody for your comments there on Twitter and that you guys appreciate all of the music that we put together tonight. And our guest is Steve Neal. And Steve, we've got a lot of calls to get to. Are you ready?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So now I'm going to. Okay. Here you go. Wild card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five.
Dave in New Jersey. You're up next on Coast. See how simple that was, Steve?
Very simple. Steve, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Jimmy, look, I'm sparking up a dupe with this music we're playing.
Okay, right? Easy now. Easy now. But the studio is dark, I will say that.
Well, Dave, that's because I'm blowing smoke here right now. No.
Okay, behave, Dave. Behave.
I'm cleaning sober 13 years.
Okay, all right. Okay, so what's on your mind?
So anyway, well, Whitley wrote the book Wolfen, and I was up here. My cousin was in the IATSC, and he got me some production assistant jobs. And one of the movies I was a production assistant was Wolfen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to meet Albert Finney, Gregory Hines, and Diana Venora. I don't even remember what she did anymore.
Albert Finney is amazing.
Yeah, Albert Finney. Yeah, that's right.
I'm such a nice guy. And they had real live wolves on set one day. So the trainer, George, talked. He goes, go ahead, they're not harmful to man. So this wolf put a paw on each shoulder and started licking my face. I put my arms around this creature. You couldn't believe the muscles he had.
Oh, yes, I could.
Unbelievable.
So, Dave, besides that, do you have anything for Steve tonight?
Well, Steve saw things out of a window, and I did myself. One night, a rope came down, and something was shimmying down the rope, and his back was toward me. It got to my window. It was a cat clown. It looked at me, smiled. I went back up the roof, and the rope went back over the roof.
It was a cat clown?
Cat clown. Freaked me out.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's like it was a cat face. Kind of like
it looked like a clown, you know, like yeah. More clown outfit.
Yeah. No, it's a clown face. And the next day, my mom took me to meet Bozo. I freaked out.
Wow, I would have done the same thing.
I'm not a big fan of clowns.
No, neither am I.
In fact, a lot of people who have experiences are not big fans of clowns, and there's a reason for it.
Freak me out.
Dave, thank you for the phone call, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Well, you know who Jesse Long is, right?
Yep.
He's a friend of mine. I've known for years. I met him in Yvonne's group. And part of his experience when he was a young boy was that he was his brother, was that they saw this carnival tent off the side of the road. In fact, that's not what it was, it turned out, but that was what was projected to them. And I've heard this before, and I've heard, you know, a lot of people, including myself, being afraid of clowns because there's some association with it.
Let's go to, you did five, I'll do wild card one. Mike in Spencerville, Ohio. You're up next on Coast. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, I guess we lost Mike. That was quick. Let's go to Joe in Monterey, California. Joe, you're up next.
Well, okay, so people are coming out of the closet.
So you're next.
Thank you for taking my call, James. Okay, Jimmy.
That's okay.
I was born in 45. I'll make this quick because it's really to give Steve some information on how to protect himself. I was around 2 years old, as I recall, in dreams that these little guys would come after me. And I was like around 10, 12 years old that I had recurrent nightmares about this. Later on in life, I found that the mark on my left leg was not a vaccination, but an implant. Okay? Mm-hmm. And yeah, they move.
What'd the mark look like?
It was strange. You could see through it in a way. It's like almost like a translucent type of thing. It wasn't skin, because I asked the doctor at a party, because I knew what it was, because psychics would tell me. I already knew, but I used to test people to see if they were psychic, if I was ever abducted, and if there's any implants, and they would point right to the legs and say there's an implant there. So I kind of vet the psychics that way. So this doctor looked at it, and he said, no, that's not a burn mark or anything. And you could look in it, and there's like these like blue wires or something. I've never known implants to be that. Well, how do I know? How many implants did I ever see? So he knew that it wasn't normal. That's nothing that people get.
Well, how do we protect ourselves, Joe?
Yes. Good. Thank you. Okay. I work with a spiritual hierarchy. After so many years of meditation, you kind of advance yourself and you just keep learning things. Some people use a crystal to call on certain types of angels or angels. Now, you, Steve, you have a guide and you have an angel. We all come down to earth. We all incarnate with angels and guides. This is part of my work. I do past life travel and all kinds of healing work. So I'm familiar with the angels and guides, and I get clientele, and they come up with some of these problems. So you can either get a crystal, or if you're advanced enough, you could talk to your guide to get help. But what happens when you're in the midst of it, you get a kind of like a paralysis. Okay, right?
What do you use the crystal for?
Okay, well, you could call, it's like a speaker or a loudspeaker. It's a communication device. There are crystals that are quartz crystals and some other crystals too, but usually quartz crystals are pretty good as a communication device to a higher frequency. And if you can contact your guide through, let's say, a really good healer that can do that, you can make arrangements, and maybe they could find a crystal that your guide can attune themselves and you could hear.
Well, okay, but Joe, really quick before we run out of time, what are you going to use your guide for to protect yourselves from ET?
Okay, there are extraterrestrials, non-physical extraterrestrials, and some races do police these beings. And also there are very powerful, what people call angels and archangels. There's warrior angels and the warrior archangels, and they come with all different levels of power. And if you're calling on your angels, if you can get your angel, or these warrior angels, some people call them the warrior angels of light. And you know there are extraterrestrial angels, by the way. The angelic order is a spiritual order that people go through to advance themselves spiritually, that serve mankind or serve any planet. Okay? So you want to contact those people that can help you.
I get it. And Joe, let me jump in. Steve, have you heard about this? And have you ever, or do you have a spirit guide that you would use?
No, I don't. And I haven't really been looking for protection, because I'm on a, technically speaking, I'm on a journey with this experience I've been having all my life. And more recently, I'm not in a condition of paralysis. I would have to say that I go along with what's happening to me willingly.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a result, I'm learning a lot about consciousness.
Yeah, and my little one-on-one that I had, and I'm still not entirely sure what went down, but it was real. It went down. But I was ready to box. I was ready to throw down. I really was. And then it ended, just like it ended as quickly as it started. Let's go to, it's my favorite city, Naptown. Matt in Indianapolis, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, you hear me? I'm sorry, I'm sort of on speaker. Give me just one moment.
Matt, I don't have that kind of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be quick. I'm 46. This situation occurred when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
I was living in West Central Indiana, and my family and I saw a UFO in the sky. It was more along the lines of a Close Encounters of the Third Kind style, that shape, whatever. I've rarely even talked to people about because I've barely even remembered it.
Right.
I was just curious to know if you guys knew if that type of ship was closer to friendly or unfriendly, green or gray, because I've heard people talk about triangles. I've heard people talk about the Close Encounters type. I've never really heard which ones were friendly or unfriendly. And I wonder if you two could answer that question for me real quick.
And it's a great question, Matt. Thank you for that. Steve, is there a difference in the craft, you know, friend or foe?
Well, first of all, I really don't know. It's certainly with what I've been dealing with, if I've never thought about, are they friendly or are they evil? I mean, I don't get that feeling at all. I suppose there could be entities within our reality that are not so kind and not so not have good intentions. I haven't had to deal with that. When it comes to the craft themselves, if they are in fact craft in terms of how we think of them, there's probably as many different types of craft as we have different kinds of cars and boats and planes.
Right.
They're going to be different. Now, I've seen predominantly the saucers and the triangles, and I think somehow they're related. I'm sure a lot of people will disagree with me, but I've had good feelings, if that's a term that is appropriate, from both of them. I've never felt that my life was threatened or that something terrible was going to happen to me. I'm 66 now, and I'm in good health and physically very well, and I meditate and I do yoga and I go for 2-mile walks every day, and I have these experiences and I'm quite healthy, and I don't think much about the threat aspect or the evil beings versus the good beings. I'm just not in that state of consciousness when it comes to this experience.
Well, and the other part of it, which is the obvious, if they had bad intentions, you and I wouldn't be on the air right now.
No, we would not. We absolutely would not. And in fact, they've actually, I feel, have helped me at times. And there's an experience, I think we talked about it on your show, about when I had that surgery done on my head by the little grays, and it had something to do with correcting something,
right,
or removing a tumor or something like that. And this is also, you'll hear of this. I know of people, one person in particular had polio, and she was very crippled from it and was cured miraculously. And she claimed it was the visitors that did it. But whoever did it, it's nearly impossible to correct that kind of damage from polio out of nowhere.
Let's go east of the Rockies. John in Virginia Beach, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you and Steve for taking my call tonight. I have one question for Steve, and it may have been that, you know, someone may have asked that question before, but I'd like to know myself. Has he ever considered taking a polygraph test?
Steve?
No, I haven't. And I do know people have. In fact, Whitley Strieber and I were part of a 2-hour special produced by NBC. And they guaranteed us that there would be no skepticism and that, or more likely, debunking of our experiences, that they would do an honest show. They asked Jesse Long if he would go under a polygraph test. And I was there when that was going on, and he was misled he was deliberately misled, and he failed the test, which was an absolute shocker to me, because we know for a fact that he had an implant in his leg. He had it surgically removed himself. He paid for it to have it done. He had analysis done on it, and the analysis showed that the material was under this earth, just to save time. There's more detail on that, and you can even look it up. I know for a fact that Jesse is telling the truth, and yet he failed the polygraph test. So I don't think the polygraph test can make a difference in proving whether someone's telling the truth or not.
Well, and no, there's that part of it, but I think even more important, it's how everybody wants proof. They want a polygraph test. They want evidence. They want the.
That's right.
And when
so the
somebody
implants are proof.
Well, but when somebody says that they've been had an abduction experience, or they went inside a car, and what is the proof? What is it that you need as proof? What is it that they are asking for? Are they asking for a T-shirt from Zeta Reticuli? You know, is that what you're asking for? Are you asking if you took a selfie, you know, with ET? What is the proof that you are asking for?
Right. And it's interesting you even bring up Zeta Reticuli, because in the UFO community today, few people even know why the Greys are alleged to have come from Zeta Reticuli, because they've never read the UFO incident or the interrupted journey, as it was called, or seen the Universal movie about Barney and Betty Hill, the UFO incident. I mean, and that's where it came from.
That's right. That's right. And before Betty and Barney Hill, before Betty drew this and brought it up, and it was figured out by a high school teacher in Ohio. And
the physical model of the star system.
The 3D model. And Zeta Reticuli. It wasn't even seen until 1969. So there was no way for Betty to have that knowledge. And that's way beyond coincidence.
Yeah, and that's still not considered proof.
Right.
Any more than the implants that I and Whitley have been present at the removal of by Roger Lear. They're absolutely amazing.
Let's take a break right here, Steve. We've got to do it, and then we'll come back. We'll run one more segment of phone calls. It's just been an amazing conversation and show with you tonight. And thank you for hanging out and manning the phones with me. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, standing in all weekend long. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, welcome back. If you enjoy what I do here on Coast to Coast, and you know how much I love being here, you need to check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. And we broadcast from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time live, Monday through Thursday. And it's right before Coast to Coast. We've done that by design. So you can go listen to Fade to Black, and when you're done with that, you just roll in and continue your paranormal and supernatural evening over here with George. It's very simple to do. Just head over to Coast AM, click on my name right there. It'll take you over to my website for Fade to Black, and everything that you need, guest and schedule, is right there. You can also follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. I'm a big social media guy, and everything that we do is right there on Twitter. Our guest tonight, Steve Neal, here from Goal to Goal. And we're going to finish up and take your phone calls right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM, standing in all weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Steve Neal. Steve, let's try to get through as many of these calls as we can before saying goodnight tonight. So let's go to Donna in North Carolina. Donna, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy Church. Where have you been? We missed you.
I'm out there working, you know. I'm out there working every single night. I know.
Let me tell you something. You are working it tonight.
Thank you, Donna.
You are rocking Coast to Coast.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Best music I've ever heard on it. Steve, I have a question. If all the aliens got together, got them a representative, right, and they scheduled a press conference for the world, do you think that would be a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I'd go for the good thing.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm a little breathtaking right now because the sky lit up three times, bright as daylight, and we have no power. And I was cut off because I was hooked to the charger, as you requested, Jimmy. And we're wiped out. We have no power up here. And there's lights in the sky, and it's real spooky right now.
Yeah, I want to let everybody know that during the break, we lost Steve for a few minutes, and we got you back right as we went on the air.
Right.
Well, there you go, Donna. He's saying he would want the press conference, and I'm with Steve on that. You know what I want it, Donna? I want it for you. I want it for the community, because I know nothing short of a press conference, nothing else will be accepted.
Yeah, but could the world handle it? Because I don't think they could.
I think they can. I think we've proven that. You know, we just went through a lot of mass media, that kicked off on December 16th back in 2017. And as far as I know, the Vatican didn't go up in smoke. Wall Street stayed in place. We didn't have pandemonium in the streets. And Steve and I are still friends. So I think it's all good.
Hey, I think it's a lot, thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
And thank you, Donna. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast. My
breath is a bit sucked out of me right now, Jimmy. Bear with me because, you know, I just knew something was going to happen.
Well, if you need to go outside and do a, be my...
That's why I'm sitting outside in my courtyard with the fire pit on. And, I mean, it lit up greenish white like daylight more than once.
Wow.
And, yeah, and now it's completely silent. It's just really eerie right now.
What do you think it was?
I don't know.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I could say it has something to do with this, but I can't be certain. I mean, it could be a transformer blew out, but
I can't wait.
In a row, and it was lime green colored, and it just, and it's, I feel very odd right now. So.
Well, you know what? I'm going to check the news as soon as the show is over.
Right.
And we'll find out. And wouldn't that be interesting if there was a sighting up there during the show while you were on the air, knocked out the power, and it happened live on Coast?
Yeah, it would.
that's how you do, when you premiere on Coast, Steve, that's what you want to have happen. A close encounter.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to, let's see, I want to go out east. Let's go to Elaine in Fort Myers, Florida. Elaine, you're up next on Coast.
Hi. This happened to me back in, I guess, when I was about 5 years old up in Ohio. I have this memory where I can remember stuff back to infanthood and everything. And
what happened?
But I remembered something when I was five that I can't really figure out. But when I read the story of the deer in Whitley Strieber's book and everything, it just hit me. I thought, oh, my God, I wonder. But what happened was I was over to my aunt and uncle's house with my parents, and all my cousins were there. It was like a big family dinner and everything. And the dinner, you know, everybody was bustling and cooking. And I decided I just had to go outside. I had to. And they said, no. Somebody said, no, the dinner is ready. The dinner's about to be served. You can't go outside. And I said, well, I'll just be there a minute, whatever. And I went outside. And this is what's really weird. It sounds like insanity. But as soon as I got outside, way in the backyard, even though it sounds impossible, I saw this little gray mouse sitting in the grass. Nobody would ever really be able to see that, but I did, and it just called me. It said it just called me, and I just knew I had to get there and everything, and I went out, and I put my hands down when I got to it, and it just looked at me up in my eyes, and our eyes met, and it just was like that I was just always meant to see this mouse, and there was a connection, and it came up into my hands. put my hands down, and it came up into my hands. I wasn't scared or anything.
And you were five.
Yes.
That's incredible, Elaine. I love that story.
Me too.
And then I don't remember anything after that. But the next thing I remember, I was back in the house, and the whole dinner was over with. Everybody was clearing the table. The whole dinner was over with, but nobody made a big thing about it that I wasn't there. They said, oh, well, you missed the whole thing. We'll see if we can get you something and whatever. Nobody made a big thing that I was gone or anything, which is stupid because my parents would have been freaking out normally. You know, where was I? You know, and I can never forget the eyes of that mouse, and it came up into my hands.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. And the connection, but not only that, but it's that nobody minded that you were away from dinner and you didn't get in trouble. Normally that would be the case, right, Steve?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's go to Phil in Houston, Texas. Phil, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call. And I listened to your show before this, to The Fade to Black. And I just want to thank you for being such a positive voice out there. You really, you know, you spread the message to us all. And I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome. And
thank you, Steve, for your sharing your experience. Just to add some credence to this subject, because I know some people might be listening to this thinking it's, you know, kind of odd. I've been an experiencer since I was a child. I'm also been a cop for over 10 years, detective, and I'm a prior service military in Iraq and Afghanistan in the Army. And I've actually been able to, this is going to sound really odd to a lot of people. I think it kind of comes home with experiencers, but I also had sleep paralysis event where I felt entities in the room. I've had some audible experience. I've seen some stuff, and I don't want to get religious on the show, but my grandmother taught me a long time ago the Lord's Prayer, and I don't know whether it's positive vibes, Jimmy. I mean, I know you give them off over the radio waves, but I don't know if it's positive vibes or what, but it seems like when I kind of concentrated on that, it broke whatever the heck was going on. And I don't know if that's going to help anyone out there, but I really think vibes have something to do with this. I think it's, some people have good experiences, like Steve. Mine, not so good. I kind of wanted a box too, kind of like you, Jimmy. So I just want to throw that out there, give my 10 cents.
Well, thank you.
Maybe
go ahead, Steve.
Maybe you just don't want this in your life, and maybe by that gesture, you tell them, whatever you want to call them, the visitors, that you don't want this, and they simply go away.
That's true, yeah. That's true, and I don't want
to respect you and move on.
Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away from anyone else's experiences. I just, I deal with, and I don't want to get into my job, but there's a lot of deception out there, let's put it that way. And I felt like these experiences, and I've seen some recent stuff in the skies, and as stuff that's coming out right now in the news, they seem to be taking the subject more and more serious. And I've been in contact with some local people in Houston that are experiencers just as of recent. I've actually recently came out, so to speak, because I have an alien parent, and I wanted to let them know about some of my childhood experiences, which they never knew about. But I just feel like the subject, some of it might be good, but some of it might be very deceptive. And that was my experience anyways, is that there's some deception going on. But I don't want to take away from anyone else's positive vibes. But
well, no, but Phil, this is what's most important here. No matter what, and I don't care who it is, nobody has all of the answers. We just don't. We just, we simply do. I have my experiences. Steve's got his. You've got yours. None of them are the same. And so we listen to each other, and we collectively, like I say all the time, let's push all of the chips into the middle of the table and start to sort this stuff out. But in the end, when E.T. finally decides to hang out with us and have some dialogue in public, we're going to find out that Steve was wrong, I was wrong, you were wrong, right? That's you know,
and it's okay.
It's okay. And I'm okay with that, you know?
It's okay not to know.
It's okay not to know, too. Hey, Phil, thank you so much, man. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you. That's a great phone call right there, Steve.
Yeah, it really was.
Okay. I'm going to go to Illinois, Deborah. Deborah, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, Jimmy. Thank you for taking my call. Steve, I was wondering, have you ever had any experience with the reptilian or the Draco race? And if you have any info on that?
Yeah, I always get asked that. And I have had one experience. And in fact, I put a piece of art of it up on most of my websites and even on the OnStellar community social media group that Jimmy knows all about.
Yep.
And I simply came to one evening and on a very cold table. My ass was sitting on it, so I knew it was cold. Mm-hmm. And I was very disoriented. I'm looking around this all sort of metal, stainless steel room, even the ceilings were. And I felt something sitting next to me, and I looked over, and there was this very wise, old-looking sort of reptilian humanoid face looking at me with golden eyes. And I remember my back thoughts were, okay, this is kind of spooky, and I kind of want to get up from this. I'm sitting way too close to this thing. And as I tried to move, it took its leg and stuck it out and wrapped it around mine, kind of pulled me close and said, where do you think you're going? You're not going anywhere. And the thing that really, really stuck out in my mind was the feeling of its skin was very rough. Now, I've had pet lizards most of my life.
Oh, we lost Steve again.
And bummer. Yeah, it was that same feeling. It was really amazing.
Oh, this is crazy.
Darn it.
Wow, Deborah. Yeah, there's some issues going on up there, and
yeah,
we're right. Still showing him live. Okay, and we're at the end of the show. Deborah, let me ask, why did you want to ask Steve about the reptilians?
Because I had an experience with them, and it was crazy.
What happened?
They're real. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get this vision of a reptilian guy on. Literally the face of a snake, his lips, everything. And he was very kind of arrogant, jovial. And he said, yes, we think your people are ugly too. And he said, go down to the Super X store in East Peoria. And he says, you'll find some information about me. He was going on of where he was, but I can't remember half of it. I can't remember any of it really. I kept that book for the longest damn time. And oops, anyway, I kept it. And finally I thought, nobody's going to believe this. But I went down there, 2 o'clock in the morning, got dressed, went down there, and I found this little alien book about the size of a Reader's Digest. And sure as heck, when I got home, I opened it up, and there was this creature, this person's, this thing's face, and it was worried what planet he was from. And they have since showed up a couple other times in my life. He came through another time in a vision. And I told him, I said, leave me alone. I says, I don't know if you're good or if you're bad, and I just don't want anything to do with you. And I let it ride. But I've looked up on the thing years later and found out a few things about these creatures. And I don't know. I don't know what it's all about. But I was just wondering if other people have experienced it. And this gentleman seems to have had a lot of experience in the alien area.
Yeah. I'll tell you something pretty crazy, Deb. And I'm trying to get Steve back on the line so I can at least say goodnight to him. But thank you for the phone call. And I'll
thank
say
you for taking it.
Yeah, thank you. I had a friend. Check this out, Nathan. Do we have him back? We've got Steve back?
Yeah,
Steve.
Something weird happened again, and the connection was still on, but I couldn't hear anything. And then all the lights came back on.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, at least you got back so I could say good night. Now, for everybody, because we are at the end and you went pole to pole, Steve, that's an incredible night. And that's the way you debut here on Coast to Coast. And so the Indiegogo campaign is active. Yeah. It went active yesterday.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you've got all kinds of really cool things for everybody that want to help with the new series.
That'll be wonderful, because I just do not want to get this private funded. They'll turn into something else.
Absolutely. And so everybody can just click on your name over at Coast to Coast. It'll take you straight to the Indiegogo campaign.
And the link to my book is also there, which is on Amazon under the same name, but something is there.
Yeah, thank you so much, my friend. What a great night tonight.
It's been a wonderful experience.
Now I need a full report tomorrow about what's going on outside.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I can find out, but it's definitely very weird here.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you. Steve Neal, everybody. And all you have to do is just click on Steve's name right there on Coast to Coast, and all of his information is there. And that's it. I'll see everybody tomorrow night. My guest will be Barrett Brown. That's right. The Barrett Brown, Vanity Fair anonymous Barrett Brown, right here on Coast to Coast. So I've got to thank Nathan. I've got to thank Donna behind the glass. Of course, Greg, Sean, Lex, Chris, George, Tommy, Lisa, Stephanie, and my beautiful wife, Rita. Until tomorrow night, right here on Coast to Coast, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Go Beckley Tepe.